Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, when Simon Tov Resh Mem, the very, very end of it, see if you'd, and I want to go very fast today. So, Simon Tov Resh Mem, see if you'd, we finished last year with regards to the guards. Remember, we spoke about the Shluchim Mitzvah, the Chidrochim, and then we spoke about the Shemre, the guards. And the guards continue now with the following. Aloha Shemre, Ganos, the Pardesim, Pturim, Ben, Yom, Ben, Malaylo. The Shemre, Ganos, the guards of the fields, the Pardesim, and the fields, and the orchards. Pturim, Ben, Yom, Ben, Malaylo, they are exempt from eating in the sukkah booth by day and by night. She'im yase Hashem a sukkah, if the guard would make a sukkah and sit in the sukkah, yei da haganev, the ganev would know certainly she'esh l'shem ha'mokim kavua. He knows, the guard is over there in the sukkah. V'yovo v'ignev mokim acha, and he knows that he can easily steal from the other end, from the other side. Therefore, you're not protecting the fields by being in a sukkah. On the contrary, you're making the whole field very, very vulnerable of theft. But if it's only a small amount of produce that you're protecting or guarding, that you're able to oversee and protect and safeguard from one particular place, you've got full view and you're able to guard and from one particular strategic place, then you'd be obligated to make a sukkah in a place that you're guarding it. So the point is that if you are able to guard it from a sukkah, then it's great. But if you're making the whole place vulnerable by being in a sukkah, then you don't have to sit in a sukkah. What about those who produce wine by the goy? On sukkahs, they are exempt from sukkah booth by day and by night, which is very interesting. Why so? What's the thing about wine? Exactly. Because if the goy would touch the wine, it would become also to drink. The wine which is touched by the goy is also, therefore, in order to protecting from the touching of the goy, you've got to be protecting the wines. The wine. So in order to protect you, you're exempt. If you're protecting the wine from touching of the Ovi Kechovim, you are exempt both by day and by night in order to make sure the wine is untouched. But of course, if it's in a way that they are very well protected and guarded and there's no problem of touching of the wine, then of course you're obligated to sit in the sukkah. Okay, we move on straight away. We say, Tov Resh Mem Aleph, new topic. Halach is as follows. We know very well that there is a few instances that a person is obligated to make the brach of Shechionu. When do we make Shechionu? We make Shechionu, right? So one of the instances of obligation of Shechionu is the yearly Shechionu when we come to the Yomim Toivim, which have got the Yom Tov itself. Yom Tov itself has got a Shechionu. So when we reach the Yom Tov, we make a Shechionu. Normally we make the Shechionu when we... We make Kiddush. Now, there is here a question which Shulchan Aruch answers before explicitly asking, which is as follows. Let's look at this inside. Simon Tov Resh Mem Aleph. Oh, it's a sukkah. Person who makes a sukkah, ben le'atzmo ben le'achre, whether you're making a sukkah for yourself, or you're building a sukkah for somebody else, in a mevorech al dasyos, you don't make a brocha on the making of the sukkah. But it would really be appropriate to make a shechionu on building the sukkah. If you're building the sukkah for yourself, it would be appropriate to make a shechionu on the building of the sukkah. Elo, but in reality, we don't make a shechionu on the building of the sukkah. Rather, we rely on the shechionu that we make during Kiddush. So what is this over here? So we are seeing over here, there's really a few points in this Shulchan Aruch. Point number one, why would we think? Shulchan Aruch is telling us two points initially. How it's a sukkah, when you're making a sukkah, you don't make a bracha on the building of the sukkah. Which bracha is he referring to? First few words. Eina mevorech al asyoso. Yeah, a bracha on the building of the sukkah. So we don't make a bracha on the building of the sukkah. Why would you make a bracha on the building of the sukkah? Why would you?
It's not a kind of an actual mitzvah. It's the
Very good. So what you are saying is pretty much the Mishnah Berurah says, because the making of it is not the completion of the mitzvah, but because you're fulfilling the mitzvah by sitting in it. But what you feel of it is there's a certain smell over here, a certain. Can you sense it? The Mishnah, you don't make a bracha now when you're building. Because the completion of the mitzvah when you're sitting in it. So what does that teach us? Lomdish. Lomdish. What does it teach us?
So when you're sitting, then you have to go and eat.
The chag is already started.
Not the chag? No, but...
Close.
Yeah, in line with what you're saying. Very close. Can you feel it? Would you say you don't make a bracha? You don't make a bracha on preparing the... You don't make a bracha on preparing the shofar, because the Levites say you're only fulfilling the mitzvah when you're blowing the shofar. It goes without saying. You don't make a bracha on the making of the tefillin. You only make a bracha when you put the tefillin on. It's not a good sentence to make. It doesn't make much sense. But here we are saying that don't make a bracha on the making of the sukkah. You can make the bracha when you're sitting in the sukkah, which seems to imply that what? There is a havamina. There is something about the making of the sukkah. And that's why some poskim, it's one of the proofs, one of the rayas, that the mefarshim bring, the achronim, that there is perhaps a little bit of a mitzvah in the making of the sukkah. Making of the sukkah, I'm talking about physically the building of the sukkah, there is a bit of a mitzvah in it. There's Rashi and Makkah as well like that. There's a bit of a mitzvah in the building of the sukkah. So therefore there's a havamina. Oh, perhaps you have to make a bracha on the building of the sukkah. No, kamash malam says shulchan aruch. Hoy sukkah, you're only making on when you're actually sitting in it. That's bad news for those of us who have got two left hands and are not great at building sukkahs, because it sounds like there is an actual mitzvah in building sukkah. There is something about it. But putting this aside,
is it similar to like to halacha?
Yeah. So the Maaser, what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, yes, that it is only like a Hechsher Mitzvah. It's like a Hechsher Mitzvah, and therefore you don't make a bracha on the making, you only make the bracha on the sitting in the sukkah. That's why we make Leisha when we sit. Now, good, that itself is a discussion in that. Yes, so that itself is a discussion. If there's a Hechsher Mitzvah, how far back do we go in the Hechsher Mitzvah? Perhaps only the putting Srach, perhaps even a little bit more, because you need the Tfano, so perhaps that's part of the Mitzvah as well. Let me say, with regards to the Zman, we do not make the Shechionu, we don't make a Shechionu straight. Where we make the Shechionu, when we make Kiddush. Says the Ramah, top of page 218. What if you didn't eat the first night in the sukkah, such as if it was pelting? It was raining, you didn't eat in the sukkah the first night. Afal bishim vorech zman beveisoy, you're going to make a shechionu when you're making kiddush at home. Are you? First night sukkahs. If it rains and you're eating inside, are you going to make Shechionu at home? You are. The answer is because of the Yomtev. Like every Yomtev deserves a Shechionu. Like the women, they make Shechionu by Hadlakas Neiros because there's Shechionu on the Yomtev. So us men, we make the Shechionu by Kiddush. So whether you are in the Sukkah or not, there's a Zman on the Yomtev. So, that's exactly what the Ramah is teaching us. If you're not eating in the sukkah the first night, you're going to make Shechion at home. Says the Ramah, what happens if on the first night you made Shechionu at home? What happens if on the first night you made Shechionu at home because it was raining, and now on the subsequent day you're eating in the sukkah? Will you make Shechionu, yes or no?
You
will not make it again?
You said because you're seeing your sukkah now, maybe you should cover the sukkah. No.
So the Ramah is teaching us here, right now, a big chiddush, that there's two shechionus. One Shechionu is on the Zman on the Yom Tov, which you are familiar with. We make every Kiddush, we make that Shechionu, whether it's Shavuos, Sukkot, Pesach, Shechionu, there's a Zman, Shechionu, on the Yom Tov. But besides that Shechionu, there's also Shechionu for the first time I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. You know the mitzvahs that we do only once a year? For instance, yeah, that's right. Talit Milim, yeah. What else? Yeah. So there's a Shechionu, the mitzvah of Leishah B'Sukkah as well. Therefore, says the Rama, if I did not make Shechionu the first night, I mean, I didn't sit in the Sukkah the first night because it was raining, I made Shechionu at home because of the... Yeah, but why did I make Shechionu at home? Because of the Yom Tov, yeah. Kedushas al Yom Tov. And on next time I eat in the Sukkah, first time I'm eating in the Sukkah, which might be the first day or the second night, I'm going to make Shechionu now. Why am I going to make Shechionu? First time I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Leishah B'Sukkah. And that's why I'm going to make a Baruch Shechionu. Important to remember. Important to remember. Yeah. Yeah, that's not because you're eating in the Sukkah. Absolutely. For the snow. No. You are, we find something very similar with on Purim. We do one Shechionu for a few mitzvahs. But this won't apply over here.
Why not?
Because you're not in the Sukkah.
No, the next morning you are in the Sukkah.
Ah, you're in the Sukkah. Ah, that's what you mean. Yeah. Ah, I thought you said when you're shocking Dalat Minim in the...
No.
Ah, that. Yeah, oh, I'm pleased I'm understanding that. The answer is yes. That would be yes.
No, you're not doing a late shoot now.
Yeah. Yeah, because... correct. Correct. Yeah. Because the Meister, you are in, it's the first time you're in the Sukkah. You could make a late shoot on it. You could, if you were... You could have in mind... You could, according to many achoinim, what you can do is you can limit your Shechionu specifically on this mitzvah and thereby freeing yourself of making Shechionu later again on the Leishev. Yeah.
Well, if in principle you can make Shechionu on the Sukkah, we don't.
We don't, yes.
That's what you could. So how is it Gora making it on the Yom Tov, I'm not eating on the Sukkah. Having in mind with my Kiddush Shechionu, that it also goes on the Sukkah. Why is that worse than on the Binyan Sukkah?
Repeat again.
If in theory I can make it on the Binyan Sukkah, even when it's not, even the Yom Tov's not arrived yet.
Right.
Then surely when it is Yom Tov now, I'm sitting like Kiddush in the house.
Uh-huh.
I have my Zman.
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think the correct answer to that interesting question is that because when you're building the Sukkah, that is part of the mitzvah. It's a Hechsher mitzvah. You're doing something in connecting to, linking to the mitzvah of Sukkah. As opposed to when you're just eating randomly at home, there's no kesher, there's no shaychas to the mitzvah Sukkah. Okay. Pardon? Yeah, yes, so, but it's not considered, yes, so that's, it's good. So the answer is that you don't have a p'tur of mitztaya. But it doesn't necessarily mean...
Can you make Shechionu for that?
You won't make Shechionu. Mishlubu there said as well, you don't make Shechionu.
No,
you can't, no. Because there's many achronim hold, many rishonim hold, that there is a p'tur of mitztaya, and you're not making the mitzvah.
So you just address Kiddush without Shechionu,
correct.
Without Leishah.
Yeah. Okay, we could continue. Simon Tov Reish Mem, base. If the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, when do we have this? When would we even have this? First day of Sukkot? Last year. Was it last year? First day of Sukkot on Shabbos?
Yeah, it was.
Was it? First day of Sukkot? That's right, yeah, I also think it was last year. Im Chalim Rishon Shal Sukkot Lirish B'Shabbos, first day of Sukkot fell on Shabbos. Oimrim Be'arvis, we say Be'arvis Boch Achs Mein Sheva. We say the Shabbos Shmoyne Esra, V'choysim of Shabbos B'Levat, and we end in Boch, as printed in Machzorim. I want to just tell you something, which is, I find a historic tragedy. And then we're witnessing in front of our eyes. We've got history happening in front of our eyes. I'm talking from my heart now. If you look in, I don't know if you've got the Mishneh Berurah, the editions of Dirsh over here. Look if it says in Tzivkot and Aleph, It says over here, Leo is b'Shabbos v'az, ein omrim ma'arovis b'lil rishon. There's a rule that we don't say the ma'arovis, you know, the yoitzeres. When Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we generally don't say the yoitzeres. So that's what Mishnah Berurah is telling us over here. For us, ein omrim ma'arovis b'lil rishon. If Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we don't say ma'arovis. That's exactly as it's printed in all the machzorim, by the way. Any machzor you've got, with using art scroll or any other miller, whatever machzor you're using, it will say explicitly on Shabbos Omid. Now, why is it that we don't say, interesting general knowledge, why don't we say Yoitzes on Shabbos, the Kim Marov is on Shabbos, the Kim and She'en Oilim Regilim, perhaps, since people don't know the Piyutim so well, you don't know the Yoitzes so well, Choshu Shem Yitlu Neres Lirois Bahen, we are concerned that people are going to take the candles and the light, they're going to move it on Shabbos to see the Yoitzes clearly, and they will therefore be Michal Shabbos, Chas V'Shon, therefore, we say we don't say the Yoitzes, the normal davening, they know by heart, more or less. You're not going to be concerned about putting candles next to the Siddur, next to the Machzor, you're not going to, but when it comes to the Yoitzes, they're not so well known, people are Ma'at Chas V'Shon, therefore on Shabbos, we do not say Marovis. And that's what he says also true on Shvishal Pesach, etc., etc. Now, if you look on the side of here, in Ha'or number one, the Dirshu edition of Mishnah explains, Ma'arovis, what Ma'arovis? He explains, Hainu Piyutim Anemon B'yom Tebekes Kriyat Shema. He tells what Ma'arovis are. Now, this is a historic tragedy, Rabbi Yisai. Our parents, grandfathers, great-grandparents, for many, many centuries, everybody knew what Ma'arovis are. And now, suddenly, it's a historic tragedy that we've got to explain what Ma'arovis is. No, it's so sad. It's really, really sad. But what about Bamei Madlikin? That's also an interesting one. A lot of confusion often in shul. When Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we do not say, look at what Mishbur last four words, in Sifkot Aleph, Ein Oim Bamei Madlikin. We do not say Bamei Madlikin when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos. It's good to know that. Good to know that. Keep that in your... Yeah? Don't say Bamei Madlikin. So that depends on minhagim. What exactly you say? That's a minhag related. Why do we leave out Bamei Madlikin? Why do we leave out Bamei Madlikin? No, I don't know.
The whole bit about not carrying is more.
Good question. I don't know.
You really need that.
Yeah, it's very relevant. Yeah. It's one of the reasons, correct? It is one of the reasons.
Some shul say it before.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, but some shul say it later, which makes very... Mashveh always points out. Mashveh always says it doesn't make sense to me, I'm leaking after... Yeah. Yeah, I know, I don't know. It's a good point. Well, we should say about Medlikin.
Everybody knows it's Yom Tov. They're not going to come late.
Maybe. That's what it is. Yeah. And that leads us to Simon Tov Reshmeim Gimel, which we're just going to start. Seder HaKiddush with regards to Kiddush on Yom Tov. Okay, let's look at Kiddush on Yom Tov. Seder HaKiddush, the Kiddush on Yom Tov is as follows. What's the Kiddush on Yom Tov? Yayin. First we say Barak Offerman, then we say Kiddush. Kiddush Yom. Sukkah. V'achkach Zman. After this we say Shechionu. Why? Why do we say Shechionu at the end? Why do we say Shechion at the end of Kiddush?
Then we change them over on the first and second night.
Oh, very good. That's your minik? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, good. Why do we say Shechion on the first night? We say Shechion. Okay, we'll get to that, Mitzsham. I don't know if tonight, but we'll get. Some people switch the Shechion. We'll see what Mishibu says about that. Shechionu at the very end or not at the very end. But here, let's look what Shulchan Aruch says here so far. We say Shechion at the end. Why do we say Shechion at the very, very end? What is the explanation of that? Because, you know, guess what? The Shechionu is about what? Why do we say Shechionu? We just mentioned. Why do we say Shechionu? For two reasons. Why? For the time, for the Zman, and for what else? For the Mitzvah. So, it makes sense to say the whole Kiddush, speaking about the Kedushas Hayoyim, making a lay shave, and after that you're going to Shechionu v'Kiemanu. How beautiful! The Shechionu goes on the two elements mentioned earlier. So that's what Shulchan Aruch says. And that's why we say And that's why we make the Shechionot at the very end. What about if a gentleman said, okay, I'm making a Shechionot and afterwards I'm making the Leishev? Would that be Yoytze V'Diavad, yes or no? You got confused, You know, humans are humans.
I do that on the first night anyway.
You do first Leishev and then Shechionot.
Yeah, okay.
No, you do it on second night.
First of all, I do the
Leishev
at the very end.
Ah, okay. So Mishmuel says, whatever you do, but David, it's fine. What do you make? Shechion at the end, Leishev at the end, it's okay. But David, don't get too nervous about it. Don't get worked up. If you're making something, it's okay. Either way, it's fine. Despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says, you make Shechion at the very, very end. But Mishmuel says, if you made Leishev first, or later afterwards, either way. Okay, we're going to talk about Sifes. To summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the halacha of Hashem Ganos Padesim, the people who are safeguarding, protecting, and looking after the fields, and they are exempt both by day and by night, if that's necessary to protect the fields. Further, we discussed the wine, very interesting halacha about the one looking at the gentleman looking after the wine. He is also exempt from sukkah because if the goy touches it, he's messed up and ruined all the wines. Therefore, he is allowed to eat out of the sukkah. Then we discussed the Shechionu. We spoke about the aspect that Shechionu is normally, the Shechionu that we sing on the first night is really going on it's a double Shechionu, the Shechionu on the Yom Tov, and the Shechionu on the eating in the sukkah. So really, we cleared the two aspects. And therefore, if a person is eating in the house on the first night, he doesn't make a Shechionu because of the Yom Tov, he will still make a Shechionu the next day for the Leishev, once he eats, the first time he eats in the sukkah. Then we spoke about the fact that if Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we say the relevant tefillahs as print machzorim. We spoke about, we don't say b'matlikin, and we don't say piyutim. And then we started speaking, Siman Tov Reshmim Gimel, about the kiddush, that we say first kiddush, then afterwards zman, and afterwards, and if a person does say the leishev after that, he'll still be yotze, and that's that. Interesting, I'm just going to throw in very, very briefly, there's one thing which is not mentioned over here, which is quite interesting, really. Many people do buy Kiddush. Many people mention something by Kiddush every single evening, every single night. Ushpizin. And it's not mentioned. And guess what? Guess what? Ushpizin is not mentioned here by Kiddush, where it should be mentioned, and it's not mentioned anywhere else in Mishneh Berurah. Ushpizin is not mentioned. It's not mentioned.
Where did it start?
It's the Mekoyres are from the Kisvei Arizal. It's ancient. It's mentioned in the Zohar Kodesh. It is. It's not a Nayazach. But why does Mishnah want to mention? Very consistent. Didn't forget.
Because he goes with the Nigla.
Probably, yeah, very much. Yeah, it's Nigla. It goes Nigla, and it's not really Halacha. Mishnah very rarely, at times, but very rarely, he's very consistent about it. If it's not halacha, I'm not bringing it in. At times we have seen that, at times he does. But generally speaking, as a rule, he will not mention things which are beyond halacha. Which is however nice, however important, however common it is. It doesn't matter. So Ushpizin is not halacha. It's not halacha. So Mishmur doesn't mention it. Okay, boys, so that's it for this evening. We'll continue.